You're listening to the ESO Network, your station for all things geek.
In a world filled with cigars, craft beer, comics, movies, and video games,
only two men are brave enough to search out all things nerdy.
It's the Cigar Nerds Podcast!
And welcome back to the Cigar Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Smokin' Joe.
I'm Brad Jackson.
He's here.
And has no beer.
Oh, we got some whiskey, though.
I did have some bourbon. So this episode's going to be great. That's what every episode should start with.
I mean, we used to do the beer reviews. We haven't done like a good drunk episode in a long time. Maybe we should pour some whiskey for the next episode and get you know, all the way up.
I mean, I'd be down to get a little toasty. Like, that's
called
have
the getting
to be
canceled episode.
There's a pretty high risk of that. Just about every episode that we do.
That reminds me, we're done. I gotta tell you something that a skit I saw that was hilarious, but yeah, I can't say it on something that's going to be broadcast out. So anyway, this is the part of the show where I usually say, "Hey, what are we smoking, Brad?" But he's not got a cigar, so I'll tell you what I'm smoking. I'm smoking the Christophe Vinte, which is fancy words for 20, because it is the Christophe 20th anniversary. It has a Brazilian wrapper over Indonesian binders and fillers from Nicaragua and Pennsylvania.
Well, you'll be happy to know that I'm rocking a Kato bar, dragon fruit lemonade on fucking beast mode, all right?
Dragon fruit lemonade.
It's delicious.
Dragging these nuts on your face. Yeah, this is
this is what happens when I have to leave work and, you know, I'm like, Joe, it's been three times that I bailed on you. I should definitely make it a point to show up for this episode. Otherwise, I really start feeling bad.
Or I just need to start buying two cigars when I go to pick up the podcast cigar. So I'm like, I'm going to bet he's going to forget to not have time to go to the shop. And then he'd be like, I've got cigars.
You know what's going to happen? You're going to be like, motherfucker canceled. I wish I had a cigar. There's a cigar.
That's what happened. You know, well, fuck it. I'm smoking this thing. I'll just go buy another one before it's time to record again. This Vinte, it's a little bit stronger than kind of the average Christophe. It's So
how does that compare? Like, I don't remember when, but you know, we bought the pissed off Christophe, thinking that, you know,
yeah, with a name like that, it should have some strength. But most of their stuff is in that medium range, where, you know, they say this one's a 4 out of 5 on strength, so it's at least stronger than that pissed off Christophe, and it's kind of like a good whiskey where it's strong, but it doesn't hurt. It's like smooth, even though it's strong, if that makes any sense to anyone other than me. So I can tell it's like, you know, got some strength to it, but it's more, there's still some like cream and pepper and like a chocolatiness to it. So it's kind of like a strong mocha coffee would be with a shot of bourbon in it. Damn, I should have done that earlier when I was having coffee. The bourbon, I should have poured some of my coffee.
I mean, or you should have just poured bourbon. That would have been a thing.
You got bourbon in your coffee? No, I got bourbon in a coffee cup. So it looks like I'm drinking coffee.
I mean, that's what God intended for the natural earth.
Well, speaking of some old school shit, we're going back to the 90s and talking about X-Men 97.
Hope we're not.
And if you've got
going back, are we going? Are you talking about the original animated series from the 90s?
No,
I didn't watch that one.
The new animated series from the 90s is called X-Men 97.
It's not from the 90s. It's too flashy.
But if you've got to fight a Sentinel Prime, you should call in the Strike Force. StrikeForceEnergy.com. Use your promo code CigarNerds for 20% off your order. Comes in a tiny little tin pouch that you can, you know, stick in your prison wallet and smuggle it anywhere. I don't know. Don't know where I was going with that analogy, but there it is.
It's small. It's compact. You can travel with it. It's convenient.
You can hide it like Wolverine's claws. Schnick.
And Unless that one guy does that one thing to the claws. We'll get into that later.
But we'll be right back with the main show. Welcome back to me, my X-Men.
Calm down, Charles. Calm down.
You look more like Charles than I do.
I look like Charles, who's been lazy for a week and hasn't got around to shaving the head. And I grew a beard.
I'm starting to look a little more like Beast. Blue.
I'll probably have a need for a wheelchair before too long as well.
Yeah, you reach that age where you just get up and things hurt and you don't remember what you did.
Oh, hell, I don't even have to get up now for things to hurt. Like, I've just accepted things are going to hurt regardless.
Yeah, my knee was all jacked up the other day. And like, I was like, what'd you do? I'm like, I don't know. I think I stepped funny getting out of my office or something. It's like, it's not like I fell during like a workout or something. I just like got up and my knee fucking hurts. I've got no explanation. But then I went to Blade Show and walked like 6.5 miles. So that could have been the other reason why my knee was hurting.
Do not do your calisthenics beforehand. You know, before an exercise regimen, you've got to stretch.
Yeah, I did. I looked at my my phone tracker after Blade. Well, I did Blade Show, and then I came home and cut grass, and I had like 7 miles that I'd walked that day between the fucking convention center and cutting grass.
Living that active lifestyle.
Yeah.
Speaking of active life, the X-Men have active lives, too.
Yeah, so if you're not familiar, way back in the 90s, 92 to 96 to be exact, we had the first, like, X-Men animated series, which was... You're like, oh, cartoon, kids. No, like, this shit, like, went hard than it had any right to. And it was like, the writing... And everything on it was just as, like, it's like, this is as good as, like, the comic book writing. You know, it's, they didn't really dumb it down. It was like, they told the fucking Dark Phoenix saga, like, all kind of, like, shit we had seen in comic book form, like, now in, like, live action. But Disney Plus, now that they have all the Marvel shit, came up with an idea, like, hey, let's go back and, instead of doing a whatever reboot or a new series, we're just going to start where the original series like ended. So literally like X-Men 97 starts a year after like the original series ended. And like, after I watched this, I was like, man, I gotta go back and watch that original.
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Like, after sitting through like all 5 seasons of the original, cause all that shit's on Disney Plus too. I'm like, this literally like starts where the other season ends. And so they basically just made a sixth season of the original series.
But man, I don't know. Like, most of the time I have a gripe with modern animation and stuff like that, but man, the artistic style and everything else of this series was just awesome. And I love how, you know, you got both the 3D and then, you know, in some episodes, you know, you got a combination of both 2 and 3D.
Yeah, because it looked a lot like the original animation style with that when it was still, like, cel-shaded or whatever. But you could tell it was CGI because the action sequences, they were able to do, like, you know, kind of in-universe camera moves that you couldn't really do that well in, like, the original series. But it still looked like that 90s animation, even though it's like I know this isn't 90s animation because the movement and kind of camera angles
just
and
how
shit
polished
are so much more
everything
polished.
Everything else, it was just... That was the first thing for me, because that ultimately... It's kind of like listening to a podcast or a video. Like, it could be the greatest thing in the world, but if the audio quality sucks, I'm never going to listen to it. You know, and I feel the same way with animation. Like, I'm like, I just can't get into this, you know, because I can't get past the CGI or, you know, whatever. And
yeah, sometimes it looks super computer animated, or they go that almost hyper-realistic animation. And even if they did that, like, I mean, whatever, Castlevania and stuff like that, like, that anime-style animation wouldn't have really fit with this because, like I said, it's a continuation of that original series. So if the art style just, like, was so vastly different, I think it would have taken you out of the story. Where this was, like, you can tell it's, like, new, cleaner animation, but they kind of dialed it down enough that it... You're like, yeah, I could see this being something from the 90s if I didn't know better.
Well, and I think the other thing, too, that really separated this series is this was so much more than just a nostalgia trip. You know, I feel like oftentimes with so many, you know, new series and films and that sort of thing, like, oh, this was really cool back in the day, so, you know... For the folks now in their, you know, 40s and up, like, we're going to let them relive their childhood. And this did so much more. Like, yeah, I mean, like you were saying, the original focused a little bit on, you know, it's a dark story. You know, it's very much like us and them. And when I was a kid, I'm looking at it from a cartoon perspective. Like, yeah. After watching X-Men 97, I'm like, man, I really need to go back and revisit this as an adult and actually...
Yeah, it definitely hits on a different level when you go back and watch it. You're like, man, was... All right, this season, like, obviously made for fans that are now in their 40s or whatever. So I'm like, did they make it more serious in this new version? And then I go back and watch the original, I'm like, now this shit's just as, like, fucking serious as...
I mean, I just didn't realize, Wolverine cuts things.
And now you're like, oh, damn, this is like some deep shit.
But, you know, it's almost the same as, you know, watching the Goonies as a kid and the adults are laughing and you're like, huh, what's going on? And then you're old enough to watch it as a teenager and get the inside jokes and the references and like, all right, this isn't so much of a kid film anymore.
I mean, the one thing I did notice, I think... Do you remember, like, 90s comic books and animation, like, was... Rogue was still hot, but I think they made her ass smaller in the new series than the original.
Well, you know, it's funny. Like, you know, Reddit cracks me up and some of the other, you know, web forums out there because the biggest complaint is from people like, she's less curvy. Where's the ass and where's the tits? And it's like, really? You can't get past that? Like...
It's just kind of funny. I mean, it's not like a big... But it's like, yeah, you're like... Yeah, the 90s were a little more sexualized, which we probably shouldn't have been looking at that shit as a kid anymore.
I mean, you know, I don't know if it was any more, you know... I mean, look at modern society, you know? There's more sex and, you know, fucking... access to porn and everything else than, you know, ever before, you know, shit. If we want to look at porn in the 90s, where were we going?
Gas station nudie magazines.
Exactly. Like, you know, I mean...
Or animation. those bootleg fucking
but
anime videos.
You know, fast forward into the late 90s, and you could look at bitmaps. Bitmap boobs.
Another thing I appreciate about them doing this is it wasn't just like a continuation in name only. They went and got most of the original actors to reprise their roles. I believe Cyclops is a newer actor, but we've got the original Rogue, the original Storm, the original Wolverine, the original Gambit, the original Beast. I think the Magneto is a new actor, but he sounds a lot like... They got, for the actors that they had to replace that couldn't return for, I think mostly a few people have, you know, died or retired since then. They got people that could get a close enough kind of impression of the original actors' voices. So it still sounds, even those people that are new characters sound enough like the original cast that it's like, and Disney Plus has these things. It's, I think they're usually called like Assembled, where they do like a small documentary on any of their like original series. And if you watch like, I recommend watching the kind of the documentary on X-Men 97, where they talk to a lot of that original cast. For the most part, they didn't use professional voice actors. They went out and got like theater people to play these roles. So they got like real actors to voice these characters instead of getting, you know, the professional voice actors. And that's why like some of their performances are just so like over the fucking top, especially, you know, fucking Storm can monologue like a motherfucker. Storm and Magneto. And it's like, yeah, they got like actual theater, big theatrical actors to play these roles, which in the 90s, that's not something that was really done, I think, in like anime. I mean, you got like fucking, you look, Troy Baker is like credited on damn near everything because he's a professional voice actor. But yeah, it's like getting these people that are big performance people and then, hey, do these voices for this, you know, fucking comic book show. Made it, you know, that much more like, you know, kind of epic, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, I mean, I, you know, there wasn't really anything that I was like, oh, that's different or whatever. You know, I think if anything, you know, Rogue's Cajun accent really came through. Like, I was talking to some people and it's like, why is she going so hard on the Southern dialect? And it's like, that's not Southern. That's straight up Louisiana.
That's Louisiana Southern. And, you know, and that's like I said, the same actress. I mean, for the most
part,
but
I mean,
you know,
like people have also too, like, I can't, like, it cracks me up as long as the Simpsons were around and it's like, why is Bart's voice changing? And it's like, this lady's been doing it for damn near 40 years.
Yeah,
like,
your voice changes over time. And yeah, you can...
And it's crazy to me how many people don't realize, you know, Bart was voiced by a lady.
Yeah, you can tell like a little bit of voice, you know, has aged a little bit. But for the most part, it's like, yeah, this is the same people that, you know, I grew up with back in when this first came out. Because, you know, at that point, we had Batman, the animated series, and we had some, like, but as far as, like, Marvel properties, other than Spider-Man, there wasn't a whole lot of, like, good animated comic book shit out there. And, like, X-Men, you know, because back in the day, it was like, you were either a Marvel guy or a DC guy. So it was like, I was always a little more Marvel, and then it was like, fucking X-Men. Fuck yeah, we finally got, like, you know... I was going to say live action, but, you know, animated. Get to see Wolverine on TV instead of in the comic books.
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't know. I mean, that was another refreshing take, you know, from this series is everybody got ample screen time and everything else. Like, it wasn't just, hey, here's the team, but everybody knows Wolverine's a badass, so we're just going to kind of, you know, let him take forefront. And, you know, that was kind of my concern originally,
yeah, like
was, you know, we've had Logan, you know, we've had a lot of, you know, live action. And
I mean,
I'm
he
just
did get
like,
his own animated series, like, I think, like, the early 2000s. They had, like, Wolverine and the X-Men. It only made it, like, I think two seasons. After I finished watching the original, I tried to go watch that, and then I'm like, this isn't nearly as good as the original.
Yeah, but
90s.
I mean, just the true, I don't even want to say team dynamics, you know, I mean, you know, essentially family makeup. I just loved how everything was expanded on, and it wasn't just, hey, we're going to give you a backstory for everyone. It's like, no, you're going to get firsthand trials, tribulations of what it's like for these people being on the outside, trying to do good for folks that are never going to appreciate, you know, what they've done for them.
Yeah. And then also making Magneto a good guy for at least for a little while. Seeing him like put into that, you know, because if you're not familiar with the original series, Professor X got shot and had to be taken away by aliens to heal. But the rest of the world assumes he's dead. And now, like, you know, because he's later like, yeah, we can take him and save his life, but he'll never be able to return. And they're like, all right, whatever, you know. So Professor's, you know, retired and Scott's running the team. And then it finds out, like, oh, no, the professor left the school and everything to Magneto. And Magneto's like, I want to honor Charles's dream and be a good guy now. And I'm going to lead the X-Men.
I think it was done in such a fashion that, you know, you always talk about you love having, you know, a villain that you can like.
Yeah.
And never once does Magneto say, I love these people, it's a ruse, whatever, you know. He stands by his truth on, you know, humanity is shit, but he's willing to kind of, you know, swallow that pride for humanity to be like, look, this is your chance to prove me wrong, and I hope you do prove me wrong.
Yeah, but, like, here's, you know, I'm going to honor Charles's memory by, like, trying, you know, at least giving this a chance. Like, I think y'all are going to fuck me in the end, but I'm going to give humanity a chance. And, like, you know, of course, Cyclops, because they've been battling for, like, years, doesn't trust him. But just, like, the random good shit, like, you know, it's the Ferris wheel's collapsing at the pier, and he, like, you know, shows up and, like, saves everybody. And they're like, fucking Magneto's saving humans, what the hell? And then, like, you know, goes and saves the Morlocks, and then he's like, hey, by the way, like, I took all this money and, like, flew them to, like, a safe country. Like, you know, like, why the fuck didn't y'all do that shit? Like, Charles was rich. Y'all could have, like, you know, gave these people a plane ticket to a better place so they're not living in the fucking sewers in New York. I sent them to a damn island with a whole bunch of other mutants. I mean, it didn't end up good for them later on, but he's like, yeah, why didn't you, like, do some charity work, fuckers? Why does the villain got to come in and think of all this shit?
But, you know, that was a fresh take, you know, on just, you know, like, you know, because that was always my thing. I was like, okay, you know, he's going to fake, you know, it's just going to be a manipulated, you know, manipulation attempt, but you know, if humans weren't such pieces of shit, you know, maybe we would have had a different outcome.
Yeah, because there's a speech later on, but we're toward the end that I like, and we'll get into that later. But episode one, like, has some of the most comic book, like, episode one is like, here's the nostalgia, we're going to get you hooked, and then we're going to tell you all a serious-ass story for the rest of these episodes. But that one where they're like, you know, they find the whatever friends of humanity are, like, you know, using Sentinel parts to build, like, fucking, like, Mega Man blasters. And they're like, we got to find the whatever Trask. He's got to have a new, like, master mold. And they're like, all right, well, we've tracked him to this junkyard in the desert. And then they get attacked by fucking, like, damn zombie Sentinels. But when, like, the plane blows up and, like, fucking all the X-Men, like, you know, the flying ones, like, all right, we got this. Run around and catch everyone who can't fly. And then Cyclops is like, by himself, like, good job, X-Men. See y'all on the ground. And then just fucking dives and then, like, uses his optic blast to, like, come do the superhero landing. And he's like, to me, my X-Men. I'm like, that's the most fucking, like, center. That's like the centerfold, like, splash. Like, there's always, like, in a comic book, there's that one page where it's like a full page, like, scene. And it's like, yeah, that's the fucking cinematic scene right there. I was like, all right, Cyclops, kind of a badass in that moment.
Yeah, I mean,
just not give a fuck. He's falling out of an airplane. Like, no, nobody save me. I'm good. Like, just fucking superhero landing with the.
We're
optic
going.
Blast.
I don't need wings. But that's, you know, that's part of what was cool. You know, was truly seeing how powerful, You know, because, I mean, it's like, okay, mutants, they've got abilities, and we've seen them, you know, do shit, but, like, the scale of which they're able to harness their powers and utilize their powers, I think this series just turned all the way up to 1,000.
Action sequences in the original series, but they were still limited by the technology of the time. And now, like, with computer animation, like, yeah, they were able to, like, do some serious action sequences, and it was like, oh shit, this is badass. Like, I like where technology has allowed them to tell a much, like, more, I guess, cinematic story. Because those, like I said, those action sequences, and when it, like I said, when it goes from, like, you know, like, standard 2D animation, then all of a sudden it's like, you know, fucking getting camera pans and 3D shit, and it's like, this the way it, like, weaved into to, like, the regular story. I was like, oh fuck, this is fucking awesome. But yeah, that fight in the desert with, like, or in the junkyard full of, like half-working Sentinels was, I was like, all right, fuck, you gave me the whole X-Men team, and you gave me, like, Sentinels in the first episode. I'm like, all right, we're back. I'm back in the 90s, son. Where's my cereal and my, you know, Saturday morning cartoons? I'm down.
What was your cereal of choice for said Saturday morning cartoons?
I was always a Frosty Flake kid. It's probably when I was fat, but just fucking sugar encrusted cornflakes.
Had a lot of Frosted Flakes and Fruit Loops, but not the real Fruit Loops. Like, we had, like, the knockoff store brand Fruit Loops that just weren't ever as good.
I like the occasional Cap'n Crunch, but that shit always, like, just tore up my fucking gums. That shit's, like, eating
dude
rocks.
Like, yeah, I can remember, like, the roof of my mouth.
And yeah, it tasted good, but you were like, yeah, you didn't want to have a salty snack after that, because
and then what was it, Cookie Crisp?
Oh yeah, all right,
because that made milk delicious.
Oh, and I gotta say, the combining of powers, because I remember playing, like, some of those Marvel fighting games and shit where you get, like, the team up moves, and you, like, when they're going up against, like, a Master Mold, and, like, fucking Gambit just jumps on Wolverine's back and fucking powers up his, like, claws, so when he jumps, he just, like, fucking decapitates the giant Sentinel. I'm like, Bishop's, his powers is he can absorb other energy and redirect, and he's just like, hey, Cyclops, like, light me up. And, like, fucking Cyclops blasted him, and then he, like, just fucking takes out, like, a whole room of these demon things. I was like, fuck yes. That's, like, straight-up video game moves right there.
Well, I mean, you had some straight-up video game episodes later on.
The Motindo.
That's not mine.
Oh, yeah, so we had the little, and of course, like, once Magneto takes over, he gets, has to go face trial, and he's like, well, if I defend myself in court, will y'all trust me then? And like, all right, I surrender, let's go. But then, you know, the Friends of Humanity, builds, like, a kind of a cool, like, laser rifle thing that's supposed to, like, disrupt mutant powers, and Storm takes a shot protecting Magneto and loses her abilities, so we get side quest episodes of her out in the Arizona or New Mexico or wherever with Forge trying to get her powers back. And then you get the one-off episode of Jubilee celebrating her 18th birthday. She's like, I just want to play video games, like, back in the day. And, like, hey, there's a video game in my room. This must be a birthday present. Oh, nope, it's a trap by the weird interdimensional guy who basically lives off of ratings. He's like,
but dude, doesn't that
like,
so
TV
much?
TV shows are old. Like, we're, you know, video games are the new thing. So I'm gonna trap y'all in this fucking Nintendo.
If that's not so much modern society, I don't know what is. It's like, I'll just refuse to play. You little caveat here. Death in game equals death in life.
And I like some of the scenes where they showed, like, them playing, like, the levels of the game. It was actual scenes from the X-Men.
Oh yeah, dude! Like
arcade game.
Like it flashing from 3D to 2D, you know, and everything else was just so awesome.
Yeah, I was
to
like,
me.
I've played this game. This is like literally like the background from like the X-Men.
I remember us going
system.
To Flashback Games and playing that shit, and then realizing that all the years of abusing our wrist and fingers behind keyboards and whatnot. How much you hurt because nothing, there was no such thing as ergonomics back then.
Yeah, and we evolved into the home game system where we learned to play video games sitting down. And it's like, man, it's been a long time, so I've had to stand in an arcade for an hour. It's like, my fucking back getting hurt. Like,
things,
having to stand up
things
all this
hit a little bit different when you don't have to feed a machine quarters.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but that, I mean, freaking Magneto can, Matthew Watterson, who played Magneto in this series, that dude can fucking monologue like a motherfucker. He had some, like, the writing on this show was so good. Like, I mean, Magneto just has some, like, just great speeches.
Well, I mean, we had some concerns, you know, before the episode or the season dropped because there was some, you know, serious staff turnover. And in the past, that's been sort of a major red flag for how well a thing's going to be done. And maybe because the series was pretty well complete or whatever, you know. But
The original
far surpassed.
The original Magneto actor David Himmelblum died in 2020, so that's one of the reasons he was unable to return. But
I'm talking about, you know, the series releasing. Like, they lost the director or some shit like that. There was some.
I don't even remember hearing about all that. But yeah, Disney's had a
lot. We did a thing on news about it. I can remember, you know, before shit.
Yeah, I felt
off.
Like this one was like teased forever. It was one of those. It's like, yeah, man, X-Men 97. And it was like a year probably.
But at the same time, like
announced to actually getting it.
Like going back and watching the trailers, I'm like, this is how trailers need to be done, because it didn't try to give everything away.
And can we talk about the fucking theme song too? Like, they recreated like the original X-Men. Like, I've seen videos where people comparing like shot for shot like the original intro to the new intro, and they've changed some of the visuals in it, but yeah, it's like, it's almost like if you didn't know better, you're like, this is the original opening from from the 90s cartoon. And it's like, after watching it so many times, it's got that fucking song like stuck in my head. Like, walking
but
around,
I mean, it was
that shit.
such a badass song.
Yeah, do yourself a favor. Go to YouTube and look up Power Glove X-Men. It's the metal version of that song. And that fucking slaps.
Whoa. Do people say slaps anymore?
Yeah.
Is that a 90s term?
Maybe. Oh. But yeah, then that shit took. All right. You watched it like, you know, fucking powered through. I watched it like week to week. The Genosian episode. Fuck. It's like, yeah, I'm having a good time. And then that Genosian episode hits and it goes like full anime and you're like, holy fuck, they just killed like everybody.
Well, that was another big thing. Like, this series was no holds bar. You know, it wasn't afraid to be like, oh, you love this person? Like, and nobody in this was just, you know, kind of cannon fodder. Like, yeah. It's like, oh, we're going to take out some key fucking players here. And,
yeah, I mean, they like, dude, killed that, a bunch of fucking people. It was know, like, you know, Godzilla Sentinel
well,
attacking
Genosian. I mean, I almost had the, you know, kind of going back to Avengers and fucking, you know, Thanos snaps and you just see all these people turn to ash, and like, I was like just kind of speechless, like, oh fuck, like this just happened.
And it ended with Pretty sure Gambit was dead, and I'll get to his death for in a second, because he went out like a fucking G. But you also see Magneto getting, like, just blasted trying to defend a group of Morlocks. So you're like, fuck, is everybody dead? And then the next episode is a back to the Storm side quest and Professor X, you know, at checking in with him. So we're like, yeah, like, watching it week to week, you get this, like, fucking this gut punch of an episode where you're like, fuck, everybody's dead. And you have to wait a week to see, like, what happened. And then nothing. It's like, it's a fucking one-off episode. You're like, God damn it, you motherfuckers. Is Magneto dead? What the fuck? So, like, at least you didn't have to, like, suffer, like, 2 weeks to get, like, the, you know, the find out what happened at Genosha. But, yeah, it was like, I was like, oh, fuck, man. I'm like,
you know. I mean, I will say that since downgrading my Disney Plus subscription, I absolutely felt like I was watching TV. Like, and it's not like, oh, we're going to pause for a commercial break here or something. It'd just be like right in the middle of like this epic ass thing. And what? 2 minutes of ads? Get fucked. No, I'm not giving you $20 a month.
Yeah, I've still got the ad free shit. Yeah. Cause that, yeah, it's probably the ad tier is like the algorithm doesn't, it's just the algorithm's like, all right, it's time for an ad. There's not someone like saying, all right, here's a resting pot where I can drop an ad in. No, it's just like, you just get it.
Shit, or right before something major. Yeah. Like, no, it'd be like right in the heart of something. I was like,
motherfucker,
this is the worst timing ever. Like, so for me at 2 minutes, like I can only imagine what it was like for the rest of the people trying to watch in real time and having to wait a week.
2 weeks, because like we wait a week and then we got like a bullshit episode that was just about, I mean, it's kind of cool, Storm getting her powers back and then bringing the professor back in, but yeah, it was like there's nothing about Genosha. Like, fuck, is Magneto dead, god damn it. Pretty sure Remy died, but I was like, but it was still like up in the arms if Magneto was dead. It's like, god damn, now I gotta wait a whole another week to find out what the fuck happened.
I don't know, the funeral service for Gambit, like that hit on a different level, you know.
Yeah.
Just oftentimes you think about, you know, the music and everything else. No, this was just quiet. It was somber, and you know, it was, you know, he was a gambler. You know, he would just say, you know, hey, it's in the cards. It's all luck.
But yeah, that even before that, you know, he. Rogue, like, basically tells him, like, you know, we can't be together because I can't touch you. I can actually touch Magneto, and he needs me to, like, be his wife so I can, so we can rule this, you know, help the mutants, yada, yada, yada. And then he still basically sacrifices himself because Magneto just gets blasted, and Rogue, like, you know, is like, I'm going to take this thing down. And he's like, no, you'll fucking die if you do that shit. But she's not thinking straight because she's pissed off. And he fucking hits her with his motorcycle to, like, keep her from getting blasted, and then attacks the thing himself, and then basically gets impaled, and then just fucking, my name is Remy LeBeau, you will remember it, and fucking charges up the Godzilla monster, like, ha, you stabbed me, but now I'm gonna, you know, fucking blow you up from the inside. But he was just, I mean, just went out like such a fucking G. I was like, oh, I mean, could not have gotten a better, like, you know, if he stays dead, because it's comic books, no one ever stays dead. But, yeah, I mean, that was just fucking such a good episode. You're like, holy shit, like, this is definitely not, you know, I was having fun, and then y'all drop this on me, I'm like, oh shit, this is like some serious, serious
yeah,
shit.
Like, well, I mean, not only that, but, I mean, you know, the whole dilemma between, you know, Cyclops and Jean Grey and the clone and the baby and all that shit, like...
Yeah, we haven't even talked about that episode, like, where we find out, like, you know, Jean shows up, I need the X-Men, are like, we've already got a pregnant Jean, right? I like that before that, in that episode where they're, you know, they're all, like, at the UN and Wolverine's home alone with Jean, and she's like, he's coming! And he's like, who? Apocalypse? Like, she's like, no, the baby, you idiot! But then you find out that, like, at some point in history, like, Jean had been captured, and Scott had apparently, you know, knocked up a clone of Jean. And that episode too was cool, where she was like turned herself into the whatever the Goblin Queen and went all goth chick. And you know, they've got to rescue the baby, but who ends up getting infected by a technovirus. They're like, well, we got to send him to the future. And of course, if you read the comics, you know, he eventually becomes Cable at some point in the future. But yeah, that, that episode where, like, you know, she basically turned the mansion into a house of horrors was fucking pretty badass. I'm like, all right, now we're doing like fucking horror movie shit. This is badass.
Got people coming out of the TVs and shit.
Doing went full like fucking The Ring. People calling out the TV and fucking like Beast like waiting on the elevator and the door opens up and there's just a giant face and he's like, I think one of us is in the wrong place. But yeah, the episode after the Genosian one, I think it's called Bright Eyes, where we finally start getting the reveal of our actual bad guy this season. But Rogue's fucking vengeance spree was bad. I mean, it's like,
oh yeah, right, going to this black site and yeah, just fucking doing work,
fucking tossing shit around, like flying sidekicks a fucking tank. You know, and General Ross is in there. He's like, what are y'all panicking about? This facility was built to hold the Hulk. And then she just rips the roof off the place and like, hey, my daddy always says it's easier to break into a prison than it is to, you know, break out. You know, where the fuck is, you know, Gyrick? You know, he's the one who knows where to get, you know, the Sentinel dude. And then he sent her to some other like hidden facility, like up in the mountains. And, you know, Cap shows up and she just like fucking takes his shield. He's like, yeah, they've transferred him to Mexico. I'm waiting for like government approval because, you know, I'm work for the government. And she's like, well, why don't you just fuck that? Let's go kick these people's ass. She's like, he's like, well, my hands are tied, Rogue. I can't until I get government approval. It wouldn't be right to see me invading Mexico.
Hands are tied. You won't need this.
Yeah, and just chunks his fucking shield like out into nowhere. And he's just like, that bitch. But that was just so funny. Oh, your hand's tied. You can't help the mutants, huh? Well, I guess you're not going to need this thing. Fing.
Which is kind of crazy because, you know, you would think, I mean, I get it. You know, the Avengers are much more political. They're not the outcast, but it's like,
so yeah, they got to kind of like, you know, so they got to kind of play by the rules of the government.
But at the same time, it's like, hey, you guys, you know, all have powers and whatnot. Like, you're not exactly normies yourself.
I did like how they kind of sprinkled other. I mean, this was definitely an X-Men-centric show, but you got to see a lot of the other, like, Marvel heroes. Like, it would flash to reactions of, like, Spider-Man and Daredevil. And you even see, at one point, Doctor Strange performing surgery in a hospital and, like, Omega Red and some of the other, like, you know, X-Men-adjacent people. And, you know, you even get, you know, kind of in the Apocalypse era, you get, you see Cap and Iron Man there with the, consulting with the president. And, you know, even King T'Challa and the Wakandans and whatnot. So it's like, while they stayed primarily an X-Men story, you got to see a lot of these other Marvel MCU characters. And even, they barely used Morph in, like, the original series, except for a few episodes, where he's in this whole thing. And I liked how they used him, where he was just switching from character to character, using powers that he needed. And it was kind of cool being able to see those guys like on the X-Men team by using, you know, kind of Morph as a fill-in for that. Like, especially like, all right, we're going up with some kind of big bad. I better turn into the Hulk. And he's like, Morph smash.
our Quicksilver.
Like when they're falling out of the plane, he turns into like, you know, Archangel. And yeah, it was like all these. I can't remember some of the. I recognize the character, but I can't remember the name. But yeah, like his way of just like switching from, you know, character to character and using the powers that were best needed for the situation. It was like, I like that, you know, they gave that character a lot more to do this series than they did in like the original series.
Yeah, and I felt like a lot of the characters got that, you know. I don't remember where I was going. Lost it. It's gone.
Even Jubilee was like, you know, got a lot more, you know, she was kind of like the kid sidekick in the original, but you know, in this one, she's like legitimately like fighting alongside the X-Men and
Spirit Fingers. Yeah. I mean, dude, if ever you're at a rave, it would be awesome to have a Jubilee, but
yeah, you don't need glow sticks. You can just do like indoor fireworks.
I mean, dude, I think that legit is how they did the sound effects.
Yeah, that, yeah, so, the, yeah, that, and then the storm-centric episodes with her kind of getting through her guilt and learning to be powerful again. Because she's like, I'm kind of tired of fighting. I kind of wonder what it'd like to be human. And then she becomes human. She's like, man, being a human sucks.
Well, I mean, I think therefore, you know.
And I agree with you. Being a human sucks.
You know, she was just so eaten by, you know, grief and everything else and just, you know, fear, you know, realistically. And, you know, watching her, you know, progress, you know, without the powers, you know, really took on a different light for me as far as, you know, her perspective. Because she was always such a powerful character, you know, I mean. But watching her just, you know, strip down to nothingness is just like.
Yeah. Yeah, when she's like, I can't feel the wind. I can't. Yeah, and it's like, oh, that was like just.
And then you get a fucking monkey on your back. That's when the demons arise.
The giant fucking demon crow thing. And even like, you know, Ford shows up and like, you know, does some Doctor Strange shit. He's like, well, my mother was a shaman. I guess some of those things like, yeah, I remembered some of that shit.
Always just remember the line from Predator. It's fucking voodoo magic, man.
Yeah. But yeah, the ultimate reveal eventually is our bad guy is Bastion, who is basically a human sentinel. Like a sentinel from the future came back and like infected his daddy, who then gave birth to a mutant slash sentinel. So he has his mutant ability is he can control machines, but then he's also like part machine. And that dude, legit creepy. The way he can just like be so like, he's not like a Skeletor like just screaming and yelling. He's like always like just kind of super calm and matter of fact while he's telling you, I'm gonna kill all you motherfuckers. And it's just like, just his like kind of just nonchalant like friendly way of saying things made him like even more creepy than he already was. Just that level of like, you know, not
I operate on ones and zeros. It's all yeah. I know.
Yeah, the fucking Bastion was just fucking dark as shit. You know, he starts to lose his shit by the end, but yeah, when he first starts off is like just yeah, just yeah, fucking when you, the reveal of that Magneto's alive, he's like, you know, got him tied down and just playing like old 50s music. I'm going to give you a nice shave here. Clean you up so you look good when I fucking kill you later. I'm just like, oh, this dude's like fucking psycho. But like the way he's like just so like calm is makes him like even more
menacing.
See, it
seems like that make me question every time I go to a barber shop. I'm like, pull out the straight razor and it's like, is this the end? Have I pissed this guy off at, you know, at some point in my life?
Am I about to get the slitty?
Yeah.
And yeah, the rise of the apparent, you know, because his whole plan is he's been secretly implanting people with nanotechnology and turns like thousands and thousands of people into human sentinels, and they're straight up like, it's like Night of the Zombies, man. They're like this fucking all these human sentinels, just everyone turning on the X-Men. And I love, it's a stupid joke because, you know, nine, or you know, no in German is like, you know, nine. And of course, like, you know, they're attacking the mansion and they're about to like try to like kill Rogue because she's in a coma because she got fucked up by one earlier. And then Wolverine just jumps up and he's like, I got 6 reasons why this is a bad idea, and pulls out his claws. Then all of a sudden, Nightcrawler like appears with like 3 swords. He's like, "No, my friend, 9 reasons." And then like just proceeds to go like full fucking Highlander on these these human sentinels. Yeah, like a dude with a dual wielding, tri wielding swords. I've never seen that before. I'm like, respect, dude. Fucking got one in his tail, 2 in his hands, and it's just like him and Wolverine just like going back and forth, just slicing motherfuckers up. And it's like, these people might be humans, we might be able to turn them back. Wolverine's like, fuck that, just ripping people in half and shit.
They made their choice. Are their choices made for them? Who knows?
But I like, you know, the lady who was the kind of in on the whole thing, but claimed she didn't know that like the extent of Bastion's plan. You know, she's like, I didn't know anything about Genosha, so she feels guilty and frees Magneto. But she has this speech where she's like, you know, because she was there on Genosha when the attack happened. She's like, I felt a lot of things, and you know, and it wasn't like the fear or the blood or the death that got to me. It was the one nagging thought that kept going through my head that after all this time, Magneto was right. He's like, he's been, you know, he's been warning us for years that, you know, this war is coming. And like, yeah, like I realized Magneto was right all this time that humanity is fucked, you know? And, you know, and of course, like, you know, Magneto, that final ultimate betrayal, like, he's like, yeah, I tried to be the good guy, and I had to watch a kid who I promised would never have to be scared again, like, looking at me as he got disintegrated, you know, because I couldn't save him. Like, no, fuck this. Like, y'all are all on your own. I'm going to EMP the entire fucking world. I cut off the Sentinels, but I'm taking my asteroid. I'm going to fuck space. Fuck all y'all. You know, mutant, human, whatever. I'm done with this fucking place. Like, turn the lights off and get the fuck out of here.
Kind of makes you realize how Thanos got to where he did. I mean, you know, because he was very indiscriminate. You know, it's like 50% of everything gone, you know?
Yeah.
Boom. Except Magneto took more of the nihilist approach, and it's like, it's all going to die.
Yeah. He's like, I've got this asteroid. If y'all want to come, I'm going to build a new Genosha on my asteroid. So if anybody, you know, can get up here, you're welcome. And he's like, you know, I invite y'all to come with me. The offer has been made. The door is always open. But yeah, this planet's doomed. I'm not saving these motherfuckers. So if anybody wants to, yeah, come live with me on my asteroid, you're more than welcome. We're going to have pizza on Tuesdays. But everyone else, y'all are just fucked.
Why is it everybody, you know, things get bad and just automatically, better whisk myself off to space now.
I'm going to start my own planet with hookers and blow. Blackjack and hookers. Yeah, whatever. Space blow.
Too bad that the guy that's really good at cards isn't around to enjoy it all too soon.
Oh. But yeah, you know, and you know, Wolverine's like, I wish the fucking professor was here. And then, hey, professor's here. I'm back, guys. What a miss. To me, my X-Men. And yeah, he's like, I can talk him down. Like, let's, you know, let's come up with this ultimate plan where, all right, half y'all are going to go stop the evil Sentinel guy, and the rest of us will go up to the asteroid and get Magneto to turn the power back on so the world, you know, doesn't go to shit. And I like that. I mean, oh, fuck. Wolverine basically getting, like, all the adamantium stripped out of his body. That's going to be interesting next season.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You know, and you know, the one guy that's probably the least good at fighting Magneto, like, actually the only one that's finally able to draw blood on him, like, fucking just, like, you know, stabs him through the guts. And he's like, been in a lot of wars, bub. The brave always die first. And then, you know, fucking professor basically mind-jacking Magneto to force him to turn the power back on, and then you get that whole sequence, you know, stuck in Magneto's mind where he's trying to kind of rebuild them, and you get to see a lot of that, like, you know, kind of pain and tragedy that has forged Magneto, you know, whereas, and, you know, the person, like, you know, I've got the same wounds that you do, you know, but, you know, I took it in a more hopeful path. You know, you gotta, you know, survive the flood.
Yeah, the sea of sorrow will drown you.
He's like, but you gotta bob up, you know, I'm here with you, man. But then, of course, the human's like, oh, let's nuke this giant asteroid that's, like, floating overhead, because that's going to work out fine.
I mean, it's like nobody saw Apollo 13.
And all, like, the heroes trying to, you know, T'Challa is like, hey, bro, if you do this, like, you better hope people read, because, you know, there's no way history's going to, or, you know, forgive us for what you're about to do, because you're about to fuck everything up. And, you know, Cap and Iron Man's like, I would listen to T'Challa here, but, you know, they're like, nope, let's nuke the asteroid. But before that, you get Team 2 that is fighting the Sentinels, and freaking Storm and Forge just going full Top Gun, fucking the flying Sentinels up. But eventually everyone gets, you know, caught. And, you know, you think they're killing Jean for the, like, fifth time. And then it's like, nope, I got a little bit of the Phoenix left in me. It's like, oh, I am the Phoenix. And, like Storm is just, like, starts laughing. She's like, oh, yeah, y'all about to get fucked up. We were certainly dead a minute ago, but now y'all about to get fucked up. She's up there, like, fucking laughing.
Oh. But, I mean, just, you know, and that whole battle and, you know, just watching Storm just fucking tornadoes and all this other shit. I'm like, fuck yes.
Oh, in that first battle where she's like, you know, where they're fighting the Sentinels and he's like, bring the storm, you know, and she starts like lightning the desert, turning it to glass, and then just basically makes like a glass tornado and starts shredding shit. You're like, fuck. Storm is like the most damn powerful X-Men, yeah. And you just let her off her chain. She's going to fuck some shit up. But yeah, that, and then what she does to Sinister too, like just fucking like, you've been stealing like mutant powers on, like, I'm going to burn like every bit of like, just reset you back to 100% human. And then he looks like the fucking Emperor. He goes to Morph, show me my face. He's like, oh, you ugly man. He like fucking just runs off and shit.
Tucked between the legs.
And of course, Bastion tries to go up there and take over the asteroid, so they gotta fight him, and him just getting like just more and more like just unhinged and fucked up. The less human he becomes, he just keeps becoming more and more like a machine and just like losing his shit to the point where, you know, they're like, all right, let's just fucking, you know, tell him the truth instead of like stop fighting him. Let's just like, you know, fuck with his mind and tell him like, no, dude, you're like, you know, Professor, you could have been an X-Men. Professor tried to like recruit you, but you know, your mom like told him to fuck off. And you know, they've about got him like subdued, and then of course we're gonna blow up the asteroid and it's gonna crash and kill us all. Which if we just left the fuck alone, we would have let the X-Men handle it, but like, no, we gotta blow up the fucking gravity generator and, you know, pull a fucking dinosaur 2.0.
What happened to the dinosaurs, Joe?
Theoretically, big-ass asteroid killed everybody. And that was about what was about to happen. And they're like, no, we're X-Men. We all team together and work together. We can stop this. But of course, you know, Magneto finally wakes up and he's like, Magneto lives! I'm gonna stop this asteroid from falling. But then it blows up and everyone's like, the fuck? And I'm like, you got Forge at the end, like he's got like a whole like board of like known X-Men. He's like, and then Bishop walks in, because you go back and watch the original series, him and Bishop were friends in the future, and he's like, you got a lot of balls walking in here like we're buddies. He's like, oh, we're buddies, you just don't know it yet. And he's like, so you're trying to find the X-Men? He's like, nah, they're all dead. Like, he's like, eh, X-Men have been dead before, you're just looking in the wrong place. It's not where they at, it's when they're at. And you're like, huh? He's like, yeah, somebody sucked them into, you know, into a different time, so you and me gotta do some time traveling, figure out where the fucking X-Men are. And apparently half the group wound up in the far future, and the other half wound up in 3000 BC, with like the origin of Apocalypse. It's like, hey, we saved this guy from these Egyptian warriors, and it's like, oh fuck, we just saved Apocalypse. McCoy is just like, oh boy, this isn't going to end well.
I'm just glad that this didn't turn into a Cable just pulling everybody to a different timeline and they all live happily ever after.
Yeah, because that was the thing. When I saw the Genosian episode, I'm like, Cable's there. They're going to hit the reset button at some point. Like, all these people can't die. And no, they never did that. They let that. They're like, no, this is like, you know, he's like, some of the whatever mystics at Kamatar says there are fixed points in history that travel across all kind of timelines and universes and shit. So this may be something that can't be fixed. And if you look closely at that episode, which I didn't catch it till the second time I went back and watched the Genosian episode, when the party starts and it's got that scene of like the night skyline, you see the Watcher. There's like an outline of the Watcher in the sky, and it's like, oh shit, yeah, he's here to watch this happen because this is a significant point in history. So it's like, yeah, it's like, so yeah, I kept expecting them to pull a reset at some point, but like they didn't do that, which kind of made it that much more impactful. If you just kind of, you know, hit the reset button on it, it's like, eh, whatever. But yeah, the fact they let that shit play as it lied and was kind of an impressive way to go about it. But then we get our post credit scene of Apocalypse walking around the ashes of Genosha, and he's like, so many dead, my children, and like fucking pulls a damn burnt queen card out of the rubble, and it's like, oh, it's Apocalypse, because I mean, this is a dude that, you know, basically immortal and has like regenerative abilities. It's like, is this dude gonna resurrect Gambit? Because he did it to Morph. I mean, that's kind of what happened to, like, you know, Morph got resurrected when we thought he was dead in the first series and kind of turned into like an agent of evil for a while until he got his mind back. But Apocalypse decide to resurrect old Remy for season two. Are we done with the Cajun?
The Raging Cajun. I don't know. That or he returns. You know, like you said, they already did it with Morph, so I hope they don't do it with Gambit too. I mean, which, you know, hard to say. Like, yeah.
Because there's still the potential for now that everyone's like stuck in different times and shit, and it's like, they didn't hit the reset button this season, but there's not saying they're not going to hit the reset button at some point next season.
I don't know. Like, as hard hitting and emotional and just, I mean, dude, this was just dark and, you know, all about trial and tribulation from the word go. I don't know that, or I don't think it would be wise to defer from that for, you know, season two and then be like, oh, this is, we called it, this is what was going to happen all along, you know, like,
we saved the Genosians by time traveling.
You know,
it would kind of be just a,
I think that would just be a cop out and a big letdown from everything that season one was.
Yeah. I do like, we didn't, of course the mansion gets blown up. That mansion has been destroyed so many damn times in this series. You know, gets blown up during the night of the fucking zombie sentinels. So like, we got to go to our offsite old base on Mirror Island. So when they go off on that final mission, they're basically all like suiting up in like old uniforms. So it's like, I was like, oh, that's cool. Seeing like the kind of the classic X-Men look, you know, like Jean's got her like Phoenix outfit and Cyclops has his
old Wolverine sporting
the old like
yellow.
Brown instead of like he's been like the traditional like yellow and blue, and now he's back to like the brown and khaki, you know, kind of outfit. And it's like, oh yeah, seeing everybody kind of resetting to like their older style outfits was kind of a cool touch.
So yeah, I don't know. You know, I'm like everyone else. You know, most of the time when we do these, it's like, oh, you know, season two just wrapped. Let's go ahead and do. So now I got to wait for the next season.
Yeah.
So now I'm in the same boat as the rest of you humans.
All right. Well, as we kind of wrap up the 90s, this Christoph Vente is definitely stronger than most of the Christophs I've had. And it's got, you know, like a chocolatey, light peppery with kind of, I don't know, brown sugar spice, like rich coffee. Yeah, so if you like those kind of flavor profiles, this is one to, you know, if you like that kind of flavor profile and you like a little bit of strength, definitely pick up one of these 20th anniversary Christophs. They are definitely more down my alley than some of the other Christophs I've had. This is a damn good smoke for a damn good show. And with that, we'll be right back with some science. Welcome back. It's time for some science.
Yeah, science. Sinister science.
Mr. Sinister. Old man Sinister. Well, we've got some AI news. So now, apparently AI can interpret the meaning of dog barks.
Dude, AI just makes up whatever the fuck it wants to make up. And people's like, look, it did a thing. It's like, no, it didn't.
Yes, so, you know, now, you know, artists are losing their jobs to AI, so I guess dog whispers are the next thing to be obsolete. So, yeah, researchers were able to successfully decode the meaning of dog vocalizations. Authors of this study recorded dog barks, growls, howls, and whimpers of 74 pet dogs as they were exposed to a variety of scenarios designed to trigger certain responses. These include everything from playing with their favorite toys to witnessing the researchers pretending to attack their owners. And from these recordings, they identified 14 different types of dog barks, from positive squeals to sadness, anxiety barking, aggressive barking, so forth and so on.
So now AI is trying to turn our dogs against us. Is that the purpose of the study?
Pretty much. So, yeah, the AI model called Wave 2 Vec2 was basically, it was able to identify the individual dogs based on their, you know, the sound of their barks. So apparently dogs had different accents, so you could tell one dog from the other based on just their bark.
I mean, I can do that without AI. I have 5 dogs at home. They all 5 sound different.
Yeah, so, and then kind of the next step of this, they were able to kind of interpret the different meanings of the sounds that the researchers had identified. The AI was able to pick those different kind of, emotions out, and also, like, you know, assign them to, like, this bark came from this dog and it means this, theoretically. But one of the kind of the interesting things is, like, they had different, I guess, versions of this AI model that was originally designed to interpret human speech, and the model that had been previously trained on human communications was able to identify the dog communications at a much higher success rate than the model that had not been previously trained on human speech. So apparently, you know, knowing how humans talk is allows you to interpret animals better.
I don't know. I'm still such a cynic when it comes to all this AI shit. Like,
are we going to get the dog from Up, like the little voice box?
No, so we're going to get Cujo. We're going to get Cujo.
This dog is wondering, my balls itch. That's all he says. All the
like, took my dog to be neutered.
Where's my balls? I think they did that on Rick and Morty. Where's my balls? What'd you do with my balls? Fucking talking dog.
Like Dexter neutered. Looks at me all the time because Rachel Joe can be like, Dex, did Brad take you to get your balls cut off? Where are your balls? He's like, that motherfucker.
Just doesn't trust you anymore. He's like stares he's at like, you suspiciously.
This is why I sleep between you two. Take my balls, I block yours.
Like my fucking one of the cats pissed my pants the other day. Okay.
I mean, I know with dogs, like that's marking your territory. What is that in cat?
I don't know. Just being a bitch, you? I guess. Because like, fucking, I get up, go to get dressed. I was going to put on the same pants that I wore like the night before, and I pick them up and they're wet. I'm like, you little bitch! You just like been out of like your room for like 5 seconds, and you just immediately go and piss on my pants. I guess you didn't like being shut in the bathroom all night. I'm like, fucking bitch. Well, billionaire aims to take sub to the Titanic almost 1 year after the Oceangate disaster. That sounds like a good idea.
I mean, whatever. You got the money, you got the drive. Have fun.
Larry Connor, 74-year-old real estate investor from Ohio, and Patrick Leahy, the co-founder and CEO of Triton Submarines, has decided to build a submersible that can reliably visit the Titanic. Apparently, this is a competing company to the people behind Oceangate, which everyone kind of agreed was pretty shadily run. So yeah, they're like, you know, we've got to do this to kind of show people that deep sea recreation, I guess, is a viable thing and not as dangerous as these other people.
Well, to totally get political, hopefully this works a lot better than Biden's Build Back Better plan. And we're canceled.
Hopefully this sub's like doesn't run off a fucking PlayStation controller like the other sub did.
Hey man, it was a bit janky. I got no issues with my PlayStation controllers, okay?
I don't know if I want to bet my life on a Bluetooth connection.
Now good for 50 meters.
So yeah, the Triton sub supposedly can, the Triton 4002 Abyssal Explorer
what's the purpose of this trip?
Just to, of 13,000 feet.
Is this just to say, hey, we did it?
They want to go down there and map the wreckage and, you know, do some deep sea science but basically just to say, hey, it's like, this isn't as dangerous as you've been led to believe because that we're building a more reliable sub. Apparently this sub they're using has already been used to film parts of the movie Blue Planet 2 and has already visited some of the deepest points in the Earth's oceans and not imploded. So maybe this one will be more successful, or we'll get another bunch of billionaires wiped off the map. Speaking of interpreting dog names, another study. Apparently, elephants have names.
All right, Dumbo. What's another famous elephant?
It's the only one I can think of. Whoever the mascot is for the University of Alabama. I can't remember what his name is. It's the only other famous elephant I know of. Oh. But yes, basically... Study has found that African elephants address each other with individual specific calls, equivalent to a name. So researchers recorded around 470 separate elephant calls that were 101 unique callers and 117 unique receivers. And basically, they figured out that, like, when they were could identify the callers referring to a specific elephant, there was, like, a sound associated with that specific elephant. So they were like, you know, basically, "Hey, Steve!" And, you know, to test this theory, they then played back, like, fake elephant sounds using these sound bites that they had identified as that elephant's name. And when they played these sound bites, that elephant responded. So, like, oh, shit, we know Steve's name now, or whatever the elephant equivalent of Steve would be.
And this is Ella. This is Elefante.
This is Trunky.
We just call you Ears.
So, yeah, it's kind of a first of its kind study, you know, figuring out that, you know, elephants, like, we always knew were smart as fuck, actually, like, have names that they identify by, at least in their own elephant kingdom. And we talked about kind of the pain we experienced trying to, you know, arcade again. Well, as gaming and esports have become much more popular, they're developing their own sports-related injuries. So you've heard of tennis elbow and whatnot. Well, now we've got a new disease plaguing mankind, gamer thumb.
Dun, dun, dun. I have fap wrist.
Fap wrist.
I've been married.
It's like carpal tunnel, but only when you move it in a certain up and down motion. Yeah, but it's not just limited to gamers. Anyone who takes repetitive movements with their thumbs could develop it, such as people that text or type a lot repeatedly, lift objects. But yeah, basically it's a swell, inflammation of the tendons and stuff around the thumb. Kind of like carpal tunnel syndrome, but just thumb specific.
Thumb tunnel syndrome.
Stick it in your thumb tunnel.
that sounds like for After Dark episode.
So yeah, if you're a gamer out there and you start having thumb problems, there is treatment.
I got 99 problems, but thumb finger ain't one. Thumb tunnel syndrome isn't one.
So basically, yeah, they'll x-ray the hand and wrist area to diagnose it. Treatment will focus on pain relief and the restoration of hand and wrist function. In severe cases, surgery may be recommended.
Surgery's always recommended.
Non-surgical treatments is to take anti-inflammatory medications, such as Advil. Kind of the treatment to most things. You're bleeding? Take an Advil.
Ah, watch out for your liver.
And do you know why you don't see a lot of pilots with beards?
No.
Well, apparently, according to the FAA, there, it's not a rule that you can't have beards. Most airlines require pilots to be clean shaven, or at least have, you know, neatly trimmed mustaches, but no beards, because studies have found that the air masks on airplanes in emergencies don't seal as well as when you have too much facial hair.
Kind of the same with firefighters.
Yeah. And while it's like, you know, not enough to affect the passengers, but people that are having to actually do difficult tasks like flying the fucking plane in an emergency, enough oxygen leakage that it may cause, you know, cognitive issues. They're like, no, we're gonna make sure they're getting all the air that they need to fly this big fucker. So yeah. So if you're thinking about becoming a pilot out there, you're gonna have to, you know, lose the sweet operator beard. You can't be a Gandalf pilot. At least not with a, you know, modern jet aircraft.
That's it. We're gonna develop beard friendly mask.
It's like a fucking mask. It basically like a bag that goes all the way around your head instead of just your face.
So you, yeah, kind of like an astronaut helmet.
Yeah, that's all we need is like just some beard friendly helmets.
Problem solved. God,
we should patent that shit.
Just threw our $1 billion idea out there.
Nobody listens to this. But with that, that's all we got for you this week. We'll be right back with some nerd news.
All right, monkeying around. Look at the picture and tell me what you see.
I see a sitcom whose cast became a real band.
Whose creators were founding members of the new Hollywood movement.
This is obviously a bunny and a chicken.
Looked like a band who sold 75 million records.
And who should be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
It's a bunny and a chicken.
4 consecutive number one albums.
A bunny and a chicken.
2 Emmy Awards.
A bunny and a chicken.
Monkeying around.
A bunny and a chicken.
Podcast about the monkeys.
A bunny and a chicken.
And now it's time for all things nerdy in Nerd News.
And welcome to Nerd News.
Yeah, news.
And for this episode, we got trailers, we got video games, we got a good conglomeration of all things nerd. Up next is we've got a new trailer for Tales of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles animated series on Paramount Plus. This might be another deciding factor as to, hey, I should probably resubscribe to that. Because right now, Paramount and HBO, those are the two that I'm like, eh, you know what? I'll watch a thing, then I'll cancel. Like,
yeah, I've had HBO for a while. And every time I get to the point where I'm like, I'm not used that in like 2 months. I should cancel it. Then I get a preview of something coming out. I'm like, God damn it.
So this series will be a continuation of the Mutant Mayhem film, and it will continue the story of the four turtles. They'll be challenged like never before as Leo, Ralph, Donnie, and Mikey each go at it alone for the first time. Which is kind of
a solo mission.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I played a lot of Nintendo in the day, and the OG Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle game, like, although you could choose each turtle when one died, I mean, that was pretty much a solo mission. Wasn't until we got Super Nintendo that we kind of got to team up with friends and stuff.
Yeah, back in the day, it was like, yeah, instead of lives, you got four turtles. When one of them died, you got the next one. But yeah, it was, there wasn't any of this, like, team play shit back in the day.
So, yeah, faced with new threats and teaming up with old allies, the Turtles will discover who they really are.
I just want to see, supposedly we got, like, a live-action version of The Last Ronin coming out at some point. That should be an interesting story.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the just the Ronin stuff, I mean, it's always funny to me, you know, this was one of those series that, you know, oh, yeah, we're watching a cartoon. This is fun. And then you switch over into the comic universe, and you're like, holy shit, turtles are dark.
Yeah.
Yeah,
the comics are always, like, much more violent than the animated stuff.
So, this will be the 5th animated Ninja Turtle TV show to be developed. And this will premiere sometime this summer for those who subscribe to Paramount Plus. Or those that, you know, are on the fence about subscribing to Paramount. I feel like this is all this is. We all canceled cable TV to be like, yeah, streaming services, they're cheap. And, I mean, we said it like 10 years ago that's like
five at $15 a piece. Now you're paying the $100 a month that you were paying on cable.
So, as we continue with animation, let's switch it up and... I mean, here we are. We're two dudes sitting alone in a shed doing a podcast. So
stereotypical.
maybe instead of like podcast, maybe we should just call this Sausage Cast. I don't know.
That's our new podcast covering the sausages.
Well,
next week's episode is salami. Just a fucking podcast about different sausages. Delving into the history of each and how do you make them.
I mean, maybe we'll end up on, you know, blowing up on the foodie side of things. I don't know. But with no further ado, we have our trailer for the spinoff of Sausage Party, Foodtopia.
And this time around, it's a TV series and not a movie.
Yep. So for all you Prime subscribers, this will be the R-rated limited series based on the 2016 animated comedy movie Sausage Party. Rogan, Goldberg, and Jonah Hill. I mean, you know, you get three.
All the originals.
Absolutely. So, I'm not sure what to make of this trailer. You know.
It's just as fucked up as the movie was.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe even more so.
There's buttholes.
It's like, you got the bird. Where's the entry port? And then I love the
Drop your torpedo in his exhaust tube.
Yeah, and it takes a shit and the sausage falls off and it's like, ah, oh, clever girl. I'm like, that's a Jurassic Park reference. That'll segue well.
Jurassic Pork.
All 8 episodes of the series will drop on Prime Video on July 11th. So, you know, remember for the 4th, cook all of your foods. Because on the 11th, food will have its revenge.
Yeah, thank you, Prime, for dropping the whole thing. I hate the fucking week-to-week shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, we kind of segued a little prematurely, but we got some story details for the Jurassic World movie.
I thought originally they were done with that in the last movie.
Well, I mean, it's... So Jurassic World 4 is headed into production. You know, the movie is touted to be a completely fresh take, launching a new Jurassic era. This will follow three adults and three teens getting stuck on the island. Obviously, it's got Steven Spielberg at the helm, Frank Marshall, Patrick Crowley.
So are we not getting any of the people from the previous
movie? It's just kind of... expected, but we'll probably get Scarlett Johansson, of course, Jonathan Bailey, a few others.
So no Chris Pratt and Bryce Dallas Howard.
It's too early to tell, and how much money's on the line? So June 13th to July 16th, in Bangkok, Trang, Pang, Naga, fuck it. Coolest name ever. You know, here we're also going to have some Malta production, you know, facilitated in Latina. So, you know, a lot of different areas to go to travel through to get some of the different scenery and stuff. Yes, we're looking at a July 2nd, 2025 release. So I'll be more excited once we actually start getting some trailers and some other stuff. Because, you know, coming down from the horror elements of the books and that sort of thing, like, as much as I've appreciated the, you know, three Jurassic World films, I'm like... nothing has yet captivated or reimagined or, you know, had the profound thing that the 1993 Jurassic Park film has.
Yeah, I'm seeing no mention of actors from the previous films. So this may be like a whole new story set in the same universe.
So, but then again, you know, this is only for those couple of regions, you know, they may be saving the heavy hitters for later on or something like that and be like, oh, yeah. Wait, you're my boy, Blue.
Surprise, SWAT Raptors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He's busy filming new Terminalist series. Leave him alone. Let him finish that shit. I want some more some James Reese shit.
Well, I don't have any James Reese shit for you, but I got some Nicolas Cage shit for you.
Alrighty.
So the Nicolas Cage horror film Long Legs is set to be the scariest film of the decade. I'm not really sure in the last 10 years outside of... 10 years! When was the summer of all things Grandma Tits?
Oh.
Has that been more than 10 years ago? That's probably been more than 10
years. Maybe, because that was the same year as like the new It shit. Because it was Grandma Titties in that. Yeah, I haven't seen any good horror lately.
Well,
I mean, we've had a couple Scream movies come out, but I've still not seen the last couple Screams. I need to find them and watch them.
Well, apparently the film has been screened for critics and is getting great reviews. The movie currently holds a 100% rating on Rotten Tomatoes. And if one thing I know is whenever something holds a high rating on Rotten Tomatoes, I typically think it's dog shit. Like, I don't know what they're watching versus what I'm watching, but I guess that's why I don't review movies professionally.
Yeah, it's always funny when you look at the... Because I always have the... When they have the critic review and then they have like the audience review, and it's like the critics hate something and the audience loves it. But if the critics love it, the audience usually hates it. It's it's like those who can't teach, but like those who can't make movies like review them. This is the most awesome. Oh no, this movie's gonna suck if critics love it. I wait to see what the audience score is before I make a judgment.
Well, give you a little bit of synopsis. This is going to follow a character, Lee Harker, who's a new FBI agent who's assigned to a unsolved serial killer case. As the case takes complex turns, unearthing evidence of the occult, Harker discovers personal connection to the merciless killer and must race against time to stop him before he claims the lives of another innocent family. This is said to be sort of in the vein of classic Hollywood psychological thrillers, and early reviews compared it to the classic Silence of the Lambs. This will be released on July 12th, 2024. You would think something like this
would
maybe a little closer to Halloween.
But then again,
maybe you're trying to capitalize on the summer box office, but I don't know.
I'm just waiting for Deadpool and Wolverine. That's probably the next thing that'll get me to a theater. Well, that and maybe Twisters. Because I think Twisters you might want to see on a big screen.
I don't know. I'm so on the fence of that, you know. I'm such a tornado nerd and everything that... Like, I know the special place that, you know, the original film has in my heart. I'm like, that's me! And then I'm like... Car insurance and liability insurance and gas and all these things are really fucking expensive to drive thousands of miles and be like, I saw a cloud.
Hey, maybe you can drift around a tornado.
Whoa. Drift-nado. Come on, Han.
Oh,
I need
new Fast and the Furious. We've got to drift our cars in an opposite rotation of the tornado to stop the tornado.
Oh my god. I know somebody that produces film now. We can make this happen.
Hells yeah.
I got lots of friends that drift. I drift. Now we just need naders. It's so terrible that you've already written the script.
Yeah. Script? Who needs a script? We just improv this whole thing.
I know you've been watching a little bit of The Boys, as well as have I been getting caught up. It is confirmed that The Boys will end with season 5.
Yeah, the new season just, I think they're like 3 episodes in at this point. I've watched the first episode, and they're surprised butthole, as well, you kind of expect that from The Boys. Yeah, they've definitely not slowed down any, so, I mean... I hate to see that, you know, we're only getting one more season out of it, but yeah, there's only so far, I guess, you can push it. Like, fucking Homelander has to die at some point. It's like every season you're like, that motherfucker needs to die. And then he doesn't die.
Just lives on forever. I mean, with a name like Homelander, you know, there's no place like Homelander. I'd sent you a thing about a thing a week ago. I don't remember what I sent that on. Do you?
We
were talking about video games, and then I saw a thing for... come on, you apes. You want to live forever?
Starship Troopers. I've got it on YouTube, is what you sent me a link on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, Starship Troopers is getting a video game release, finally. I mean, well, that was it. Helldivers was the big game out now that everyone's like, oh, it's like Starship Troopers, and now we're actually getting a Starship Troopers game. And the trailer looks like the movie where it's like, you know, we have the soldiers, or you know, we have the technology, we need soldiers like you. And they even have Casper Van Dien, a.k.a. Johnny Rico, returning for the game and voicing General Rico at this point in the game. So, and I believe it's going to be on all platforms, PC, PlayStation, whatever. I can play it on a computer, but I may finally have to upgrade to a PS5 for
this. That's not an upgrade.
Yeah, true. But I'm just looking for an excuse to buy a PS5.
I have one disassembled at my house. It needs an HDMI port if you want to pay somebody $100 to put a new HDMI port on. It's literally sitting in a box.
I just want to play it on the big screen. I guess I could plug my computer into the TV and play it on the big screen that way and not buy a
everything that you talk about. Like, you can already do that.
Yeah.
It's okay. Some of us, you know, want to be PC gamers. Some of us, you know, want to be console gamers. It's all right.
Even when I'm a PC gamer, I use a console controller because I'm like, I can't use a fucking keyboard.
Well, it's so weird, too. Like, you know, I've tried
several times. Now that I've got reliable
times,
internet, finally, I finally got, you know, fiber out here in the middle of nowhere. I can finally start gaming again. I got to get that Game Pass shit and finally play some Fallout and all the games that I've missed these last couple years.
Yeah, I'm telling you, dude. Game Pass, if you're a fan of EA stuff, which you are because of Star Wars.
But I believe the Starship Troopers, we got a release date of... I can't remember the exact date, but it's in October. So you've got some time to get ready to kill
some
bugs.
I did see some stuff that Helldivers was trying to do something, you know, kind of Starship Trooper-ish. That's one game that... I've got a few friends that play, and I'm like... I need to watch you guys play to see what I'm getting into to figure out if I'm going to like the game or not.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people like it, but it's not one I've not checked out yet. I'm behind on my gaming, but now that I have internet again, or at least good internet again, I'm going to go down the rabbit hole and become a gamer again.
Be like, Joe, are we recording? No, game. Joe, you haven't responded to a text in 2 weeks.
Fuck it, we're starting a Twitch channel. We're going to podcast while we game.
I'm game. Let's do it. When are you getting a sim rig? I have a sim chassis. You just got to get the components.
I just don't have fucking room. I need a house. I need a basement. There's not enough room. I got too much shit in this shed already.
I mean, it's about the size of the table.
Yeah, but I can break the table down when I'm not using it. Now I got a big ass sim rig. It's like, I think it's going to take up a little bit of space.
A little bit of space. Hey, I'm doing great. I had 3 of them in my living room. I'm now down to 2.
Suppose they're starting a... I don't know when it begins, but they're... Here locally, they're starting a sim racing league. They're supposed to be getting a bunch of simulators up at the racing Hall of Fame.
It's so expensive, though. Like,
that's why you go up there and do theirs instead of having your own.
No, I mean to do theirs, because, you know, most places are... You know, it's like $30, $60 an hour, something like that. Like, and an hour, like, if you've never been on a sim rig, like, it'll take...
Not enough time to figure it out.
To even, like, you know, begin to, you know... Not like if you're a professional driver or something like that, sure. But, dude, the first time I got on a sim rig, like, fuck following the road. Like, forget about it. Which I was, like, 27 beers in at the time. But still, like... shit, it took me a month of consistent driving to get to where I could be like, yeah, I can drift. I can do these things now. That should have been a series. Like, Brad learns to drift, episode 1. Yep.
I mean, we have a YouTube channel. We could have filmed that. We have the technology.
Save it for the PS5. You can get you a Moza R3 bundle. It's console compatible.
All right, is that all you got for us this week?
I think that's all I got. Did I run long? I felt like I ran long.
Oh, fuck no. I didn't even start the clock on this one. I think I talked about it back earlier in the year because it was announced at SHOT Show, but they're starting to show up in stores now. Ruger has released the A-Team rifle. So if you're an 80s action nerd like I am, it might be something you need to add to your collection. It's called the Ruger Mini 14 Tactical, but yeah, it's a new reproduction of the old A-Team rifle, but I think they're running around $1,800, so it's a little expensive, but if you can find one, I kind of want one for the collection just because I'm such a fucking A-Team fan.
Well, speaking of collection, you need to see if you got a 1979 Boba Fett action figure. Apparently that's the number one highest priced retro toy, you know, useless fact.
It's the one with the missile launcher.
Yes.
Yeah. I've not seen one of those around, but yeah, those things are... I think they discontinued them because kids got their eyes poked out by the fucking rocket launcher.
Dude, but all of our toys back then shot projectiles.
Yeah, survival of the fittest. Well, that's all we got for you this week. Check us out on CigarNerdPodcast.com. We're on the ESO Network at ESONetwork.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and X at CigarNerdPod. We're on YouTube at CigarNerdPodcast. Get your shirts at Real Men Smoke Cigars. Get your energy drinks at StrikeForceEnergy.com. Promo code CigarNerds. And with that, to me, my X-Men. And this has been a recording of the Cigar Nerd Podcast with your hosts, Smokin' Joe and Brad Jackson. Join us next time for more adventures in nerddom.
This has been a broadcast of the ESO Network. Be part of the crew and help support our shows by donating to our ESO Patreon or by shopping for the TeePublic store, which can all be found at www.esonetwork.com. The ESO Network, your station for all things geek.